Welcome to the Dentistry Speaks podcast, hosted by members of the Speaking Consulting Network. We interview leaders, meeting planners, and pioneers to help aspiring and seasoned dental speakers polish their skills and reach their potential.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast, brought to you by the Speaking Consulting Network. My name is Kevin Henry, honored to be the host of this podcast, as well as a member of SCN. And I will say the same about my dear friend who is joining us today, and that is Mary Gavone, CDA, RDH. Mary, how are you?
I am great, Kevin. Thank you. And thank you for having me. I am also a very proud and happy member of SCN. I have been for over 20 years now. And so SCN is my family. It's my tribe.
Absolutely. It's a great place. I know I always look forward to the meeting because I know you're one of the people who are going to be there, and it's a great place for us to connect in person. So a very good thing. I know what an awesome human being you are, but I'd love for the audience to know a little bit more about you before we dive into the topic of the day.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. I am a dental assistant and a hygienist. This year is my 51st year working in dentistry. And it's been such an amazing place to be for my entire career. I have taught in a community college dental assisting dental hygiene program. I was the owner of a staffing service for temporary assistants and hygienists. And for the last 30 years, I have been speaking and consulting on regulatory issues. Now, I see all my colleagues, speakers out there talking about marketing and practice management systems, what I would call the sort of sexy topics. Compliance sort of is not, you know, in the early 1990s, when people were really scrambling to get their infection control systems and their chemical hazard systems together. And then it was like hot topic. Absolutely. We need this information. And then over time, it's like, oh yeah, I still have to do that. Oh, yawn. I don't want to listen to an OSHA lecture. But the reality is that unlike much of the practice management information, the information in my world of compliance is constantly changing. And so I have to stay on my toes 24/7 to see what's coming, what's changing, what do we need to do, what do practices need to do to stay on the good side of OSHA and on the good side of HIPAA.
And, you know, we know that dentistry is so changing. We know that our industry is changing. We know that there is so much that happens in terms of this new generation that is coming in as well. And so I'm curious, how have you seen compliance change? Maybe just, and I always hate to just say before the pandemic or anything like that, but just in the last few years, how has compliance changed from your vantage point? Because I know you are so deep into OSAP as well. And just, I'm curious for your thoughts.
Yeah, well, a lot of things have changed. For one, we have a lot more young dentists coming into the profession. And many of them, most of them, don't know dentistry pre-OSHA, pre-bloodborne pathogen standard. And now some of them don't even know dentistry pre-pandemic. And I think that I've said this before, just sort of sarcastically, that I think that sometimes the dental aptitude tests, the admission tests, screen for the people who are the most change resistant. And so that has always been a challenge in trying to get people to change how they do things to be in compliance and not trying to find a workaround. So many times people spend far more time and maybe money trying to find a way to get out of doing something than it might have been better just doing it in the first place. When we don't have a lot of data that shows that, for example, there were hundreds or thousands of assistants or dentists or hygienists who got COVID during the pandemic, while they were at work. We don't have that data. So many times people think, well, it's not going to get transmitted. We don't have to worry about that. But we don't really know that. So that's been one thing that has changed. I see a little bit less resistance on the part of younger people to compliance because they get it. They understand it's a necessary evil, if you will. But the other thing, and I'm just so thrilled to see that we're now becoming more technology savvy and more technology dependent in managing all the documentation that's got to be done for OSHA and for HIPAA, rather than have these very expensive, very thick, heavy, nasty three-ring binders full of papers that are probably very disorganized. They might have been in the beginning very organized, and we'd have, for example, safety data sheets all alphabetized and pretty, and then we get new ones and we just throw them in the book, shut the book, and put it back in the cupboard. It's not so accessible to people. So looking at compliance portals, looking at saving documentation electronically where it can be easily updated and easily accessed by anyone in the practice, and everyone in the practice should be interested in that. So those are a couple of the things that I see changing. And I'm thrilled about the technology piece because it's so much more efficient.
It is. And I love the fact that you bring up this younger generation that's coming in, because I think if you told them, yeah, you're going to put this in a three-ring binder, they'd look at you like you had three heads. Mm-hmm. That's just something that is so foreign to them. And what I see happening in a lot of dental practices, and I love your thoughts on this, is that they're bringing a want for technology into the dental practice, which is kind of dragging all of us of a certain hair color along with them. And it's not a bad thing, because then it opens up opportunities for us not only to learn from them, but also opportunities for us to all be on the same page.
You are so right, because that generation of new dentists, hygienists, assistants, and administrative team members don't know life without technology. And they look at, you know, managing, shuffling papers around, they're like, why are we doing this? This makes no sense, either from an ecological standpoint or from an efficiency standpoint. So we need to be where they are. We need to make it make sense for them, and let them, for anyone who is uncomfortable or doesn't like the idea of working in that technology environment, then let them take charge and let them handle it, because that's their thing and they love it. And like you said, they can certainly teach us how to do the things that we may have been afraid of. I encounter that all the time with long-term employees in the practice, and I love the term people of a certain hair color, because I'm there too. But they go, oh, I don't trust the computer. Oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, just try. Just let yourself learn and enjoy, because it makes all the difference in the world. And then the biggest advantage is that you have a backup of all that documentation you need. And that's very important with electronic charting. So the HIPAA security rules say that you must have your data available at all times. If there are practices, and I know there are practices still out there using paper records, then they're not in compliance, because how in the world do you back those up? And if there's a tornado or there's a fire or there's a flood, you've lost all your patient data.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one thing that, and I'm going to switch topic just a little bit on you, but one thing that I have heard a lot about lately, whenever it comes to dental assistants, which I know you and I both have a very soft spot for, is the role of the infection control coordinator becoming a very hot thing in dental practices. And I'm curious, is that something that you still see on the rise? And is that, how does a dental practice, if they're not already doing that, transition into something?
I'm so glad you brought that topic up, Kevin, because it is so critically important. In medical settings, there's a long history of having someone who is the infection control nurse or the administrator or whatever they call it. And in dentistry, it's sort of been haphazard that there may be an assistant, and typically it is an assistant because they are the ones that perform a lot of the instrument reprocessing functions. They're in charge of ordering supplies many times, and the doctors, of course, depend on them for so many of those things. But if they are a real zealot or an advocate for infection control and the rest of the team is not on the same page, then people are butting heads. And this person feels like they don't have any authority. They feel like they're talking to the wall, so to speak. So elevating that person to the level of a designated position as infection control coordinator, in my mind, gives them then some sense of authority that they can say, okay, we agreed that this is our protocol for packaging instruments. So let's all make sure that everybody knows what the protocol is so they do everything the same way to avoid infection control breaches. I can't tell you how many times I get phone calls from practices where they'll say, gee, we don't know what to do now. We just finished treatment on a patient, and as we were tearing down our tray, we noticed that the instrument pouch indicators hadn't turned, hadn't changed color. So it's possible those instruments had not been sterilized. Well, we should have been checking that before we ever opened that pouch of instruments and put them out for use on the patient. So there's liability to the practice if there's an infectious disease transmission. It's a morale issue if people are kind of butting heads against each other. You know, I'm going to do it my way. The other person wants to do things their way, and nobody can agree. So that infection control coordinator, I think, will continue in to increase in value to a practice. It alleviates responsibility from the doctor to have to, you know, maybe be the disciplinarian for people who aren't following protocols. But they need to be trained, they need to have time to do their jobs, and the doctors have to have their back.
Mm. And that's a big one right there. And I know you're such a believer in team. You're such a believer in everybody being on the same page. And as we talk about these generations coming in and everybody getting on the same page, it's also important that no matter the age, no matter the generation, you know, millennial, boomer, whatever you want to say, being on the same page whenever it comes to compliance, being on the same page whenever it comes to the importance of infection control and not cutting corners is such a critical thing for every practice.
It is. And the doctor is the person who needs to set that expectation. If I am the doctor, I'm the team leader, I tell my team, this is the expectation. Our patients are going to be safe. Our patients are going to feel confident in what we do. And if you have any questions or concerns about that, we need to talk about those things. But this is what I expect. We follow CDC guidelines. We follow OSHA rules. We do everything that we are supposed to be doing to protect the patients, and we protect ourselves at the same time.
Nice. And protection for our patients, protection for each other. I mean, those are things that it's hard for me to think that anybody's going to be opposed to any of that. It's just a matter of getting on the right page and doing a little bit of work. You know, team meetings, morning huddles, whatever it might be, to make sure that you all are on the same page as well.
And if everybody is on the same page, it doesn't apply just to infection control or patient safety. It applies to everything in the practice. If there's discourse among the team members that the doctor doesn't try to sort of nip it in the bud and say, no, 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 that's not what we stand for. That's not what we agreed on. Then we're going to have other issues that affects production, it affects morale, and all of those other issues that happen in the practice.
Well, I know whenever we're talking compliance, infection control, team, you know, there's so many things that I know that you have discussed at meetings around the world, because you and I were in South Africa together at a meeting, I remember very well.
Yes, we were.
You know, you have discussed these things all over the world, so I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you, learn a little bit more, and maybe reach out to you with some questions about infection control coordinators or compliance or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. Well, there are several ways to reach me. My email is mary@marygaboni.com. My website is marygaboni.com. I also can be reached at thecompliancedivas.com. Several of my colleagues and I have a podcast on infection control and all kinds of compliance issues, a weekly podcast. And I also have information on the SCN website as well.
And I've got to put in a quick plug for the Compliance Divas podcast, because I will tell you, in a world where we go on social media and there's so much misinformation about what you should or shouldn't do in a dental practice whenever it comes to infection control, it's so nice to have this gathering of minds in one place to talk about some of the latest news, some of the latest trends that are going on, and to make sure that everybody has the right information, not just information.
And thank you for that, Kevin, because that is our goal, to always present the information that is based on regulations, guidelines from CDC, World Health Organization, and all that, and help people weed through all the things, because that's all we do is review and study and research all those topics all the time.
Well, Mary, thanks for all that you do for the compliance, everything along the way. And I look forward to seeing you real soon at another meeting. I'm sure we will cross paths.
I hope that we do.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast. We love to highlight the members of the Speaking Consulting Network who are out there making a difference in the dental industry, like Mary. To learn more, please visit speakingconsultingnetwork.com. And until next time, this is Kevin Henry signing off and wishing you nothing but success ahead.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more, visit speakingconsultingnetwork.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Dentistry Speaks podcast.